Assalamu alaikum, peace be with you, and welcome to Islam and Life with me, Tariq Ramadan, broadcasting from London. In today's show, we ask the question, are Muslims to be responsible of so-called failed multiculturalism and integration?
Recently, David Cameron's call for an end to state multiculturalism sparked debate around the world, with some accusing the UK Prime Minister of attacking Islam. However, this is not the first statement of its kind. Previously, German Chancellor Angela Merkel accused Muslims of being unable to integrate in German society. The former Home Secretary Jack Straw has also been accused of stereotyping Pakistani men in Britain, which led to widespread anger in the Muslim community. Islam and Life will investigate whether Muslims are being held responsible for the so-called failure of multiculturalism and integration.
What is happening today in Europe, in European countries, is quite worrying. We heard Angela Merkel saying in Germany that multiculturalism is failing, that there is a problem with multiculturalism in the society. And of course, always, implicitly, the target is the Muslim presence. We are talking about the Turkish Muslims in Germany. In the UK, we had exactly the same talk and the same controversy around the Prime Minister Cameron speaking about the failure of multiculturalism as if it's not longer the future, and talking again about Islam and Muslims being segregated and not enough integrated into the society. We look at what is happening in the Netherlands, exactly what is happening also in France. Around throughout the European countries, what we have also in Denmark, in Sweden, it's the same discourse. Multiculturalism is failing, and the first to be targeted and the first to be shown as the problem, as the main issue, is Islam and the new Muslim presence. These are critical questions because it's not only a new Islamophobia, it's the Western countries and the European countries questioning themselves about the very essence of their identity and their future. These are critical questions. So to answer all these questions, I'm joined by Mark Wadworth, the editor of thelatest.com and online newspaper. So thank you so much for being with us today. You have been involved in all this discussion, mainly from, of course, a black perspective, but it's all the same. At the end of the day, we are talking about racism, we are talking about a diversity and pluralism within our societies. So today, what we are getting from all these politicians around the European countries, but not only, even we have voices, neocon, in the States saying exactly the same, that we can't live together. There is something implicitly in Islam that is not helping the Muslims to be integrated. And it means that the old model, the more multicultural model, is failing. It's not the only philosophy or ideology that we have, but it's now gaining ground on many different political parties and philosophy. What is your take on this? How would you define multiculturalism first, before asking ourselves if it's failing or succeeding?
Well, first of all, can I say that we are here because they were there. We came to fill the labour shortage. My father came over from Jamaica as a 17-year-old in 1943 to help fight the fascist threat and keep this country free. So let's get that very clear. We're not here on holiday. You know, we prefer to be in the sunshine, in our own prosperous countries, you know, with rich soil and beautiful fruits and lovely flowers. So we're here for a reason, to help them.
Who is this we that you are talking
about? Black people, African Caribbeans, Asians, you know, the white Westerners started out with their crusades against Islam, which is all well documented, Richard the Lionheart. They came to our countries. They colonized us, enslaved black people, you know, tens of millions of black people torn from the beautiful continent of Africa to work in the West for free.
So you mean that what we are experiencing as a pluralistic society is coming from somewhere? It's coming from a history of colonization and sometimes oppression.
And exploitation. So we have to define, you're quite correct, what is multiculturalism?
Yes.
And I think it was invented by them, that definition, that term. because they want multiculturalism to be, you know, once a year Black History Month, wear a sari, celebrate Eid in school, or, you know, a Hindu festival, or whatever they like to do. And then for the rest of the time, it's business as usual. They have the power, we are the powerless, despite the fact that they couldn't exist without us in the health service, in transport, in the service sector, in all countries of Europe, including France and Germany, and this one. So I see multiculturalism as, on both sides, sharing power, sharing resources, sharing culture. But that's not what has actually happened. And now what we're seeing is a scapegoating during this recession, economic recession, where there is suffering in Europe.
To distract the people. Yeah,
blame the Muslims. Blame the Black people.
Okay, but it's quite interesting because you started by defining multiculturalism by saying, look, at the end of the day, the powerful came and they were in our countries, and then we are here because they were there. This is what you are saying. And the first thing that you are saying when it comes to define multiculturalism is about, if we are serious about multiculturalism, is to share power. Much more than anything else. This is what you mean? Is that we are talking, because very often when you speak about multiculturalism, it's not about power. It's about we are sharing values, we are sharing, you know, citizenship, we are sharing festivals, as you said, but not power. For you, multiculturalism should also be about sharing power in the way we are dealing with
our
society.
Unless we're talking about Anglo-Saxon Christian monoculturalism. Multiculturalism to me means the multiplicity of the races and the religions, the faith groups, sharing power. And that's not happening in Britain, in France, in Germany and elsewhere. You know, where is the representation in the parliaments? All right, we've got some Muslims in the British Parliament. But look at the vote just a while ago on this attack, this awful aggression against Libya. Where were the Muslim MPs? Only one, Yasmin Qureshi, voted against this scandalous aggression against a nation state. And so even the ones that are in the parliament, are they really representing us? And proportionally, we've got 27 African, Caribbean and Asian MPs in the British Parliament, but they're not Black MPs. They're MPs who happen to be Black. They're MPs who happen to be Muslims. We haven't really got proper representation. We have a democratic deficit, and we need an Egypt here. We need a democracy movement to free up democracy for
all
the people.
So you want to import the same uprising from there?
Absolutely.
Non-violent, peaceful uprising.
We need that here.
But
the place is rotten. We have the Queen as the head of state who was not elected. Yet nobody's running around and talking about that.
Okay, so let me, if I listen to you, if at the end of the day, you may come from a different angle or a different route, but it seems that you are saying exactly what Angela Merkel and David Cameron is saying. Multiculturalism is failing.
I've never bought into the notion, their notion of multiculturalism.
So what is
my multiculturalism is not failing. I was born here.
So I want to listen to you about that.
I was born here. Yeah. I can contribute to this society economically, intellectually, as a lecturer at the university and as a teacher. You know, my commitment to the success of this nation shouldn't be questioned, and nor should the commitment of Muslims, of Asians, of African Caribbeans.
They are contributing.
Daily keep this country afloat. If we were to en masse leave, this country would collapse. Germany would collapse. France would collapse.
So what you are saying, which is also part of the whole discussion, is to acknowledge the fact that now the British citizens or the German citizens or the French citizens, they are coming from different backgrounds, different cultures, different colors, and they are contributing. And this is not acknowledged, in fact. We are not acknowledging their contribution, and they don't have power just to influence the national politics. So it's a mixed picture, isn't it, about what is happening in the European country. So how do you explain this discourse that we have now in all these countries at the same time with different realities and different people? Multiculturalism is failing. Our societies are not working. So why is it? Because it seems to be an ideological take, isn't it? That there is something which is we need to stress on the fact that something is not working in our societies. Why do we have this today?
But why has this discourse begun? Because of the economic crisis that was caused by the bankers, not us. And so we're the scapegoat yet again. We're the ones who should be blamed for society.
But which economic crisis? Because it started, you know, it started, for example, this visibility of Muslims started in 1989, for example, in France with the headscarf, or after the Salman Rushdie affair here in the UK. So the people are using, you know, instrumentalizing, you know, situations or events. But it's not. It's before the last. Even it's before the September 11th. That many people are referring to this as the starting point. So it's a long. It's still a long process.
Yeah, but you have to understand the diversionary tactics used by unscrupulous politicians. What do they say, that this sort of nationalism, patriotism, is the last refuge of the scoundrel in politics? That when things are tough for them, people like Angela Merkel and David Cameron, facing all those Europhobic conservative MPs in his ranks. What do? You blame Muslims, you blame the black people as the reason why things aren't working out in society. And that takes attention away from the fact that billions of pounds of economic cuts are occurring in the health service, towards the elderly, towards black people, towards the poor, and miraculous, using this sort of political magic, they take public attention away, and they play to the right wing. The people who are talking about immigration, like the English Defence League, the British National Party, and they try and take votes away from them, among a white working class that are being hammered by economic policies. But suddenly, with this populism, this very dangerous populism. Hitler did it. Do you remember when he said X amount of million of unemployed, X amount of Jews who are responsible for unemployment in Germany? Very dangerous politics that is going on.
So what you're saying is it is dangerous. It's the rhetoric that we have now, very simplistic response to complex issues, or distracting us from the core, the heart of the questions. Now, you are saying my multiculturalism is not failing because I have been here. This is my country. I'm contributing. I'm contributing to the present and the future of this society. Now, you have people saying, no, you are a problem because the black presence is a problem. If you go to the rates in hate crimes, the black people are the highest rate in the country. If you go to the Muslims, exactly the same. We have problems with the Muslims because there is segregation with Muslims and they are not involved in the society. And all this, as you are saying, are socioeconomic problems, much more than religious problems and color problems that don't have to do with quote-unquote races, but it has to do with politics, and it's not done. You are talking about them and us as something which is dividing the society. Now, this is exactly what the populists also are doing. I say, you and us, we are not the same. You are a problem for us, and this is our society. What can we do in order to change this? What would be the first steps for you? What are the responsibility, for example, of the Muslims, the black people, if we want to change this situation and to respond to this rhetoric that we have now?
Well, first of all, can I place clearly where that them and us comes from? Yeah. They created the them and us. I'm very happy with my British passport, which is red. I am black. You know, to be accepted, but you're constantly reminded, because of something called racism, that you're not the same. And the treatment, you're not treated the same in the same way. This happens to Muslims.
Exactly.
So
the
second part of what I would say is this, that we are seeking mutual respect. You know, we have a right to practice the religions that we follow. We have a right to be follow the cultures that we brought to this country. I mean, take what they did when they were in our countries. They drank cups of tea, they acted in an English way, they didn't speak our languages, they didn't follow our culture or customs. They wanted everything adapted to their way. And yet when we come here and we want to follow our traditions and cultures and faith, suddenly that is a problem. That's hypocritical, isn't it?
Yes. That's true. This is what happened. But is it is because this has happened? They came as colonizers. Okay, now we are coming as citizens. Could our answer be the same as their attitude when they were in the countries of origin, for example? What should we do now? You know, if we can carry on by saying they did this to us or to blame them. And I would say, and this has been my understanding for years, we have to stop this victim mentality. Now it's time to start together. One of the problems that we have, for example, is really that between the Muslims that are now the target of a new racism and the black people, there is very, very rarely and seldom hardly coalitions. You tried, you told me that you tried in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And still today, while we are facing this, it's as if we are completely divided. So what would be the first steps if we want to change? In fact, my question is quite simple. Practically speaking, what should be the answers of the Muslims when they are facing such discourses about the fact that the state of affairs is a failure, that the Muslims are not really citizens in Britain, in Germany, or in France?
We need to organize. We need to have those alliances. Hmm. We have allies, but in some way it seems we're not forming alliances with them in the way that we did in the past. Our voice must be heard. Hmm. You know, above the din of all these people saying multiculturalism has failed. Unfortunately, at the very top of our societies, if you look at politics, the Merkels, the Camerons, where are the counter voices saying, no, actually, this living together, whatever you want to call it, multiculturalism, anti-racism, harmony, is working. Hmm. Every day, if you go to a hospital, you will see in the accident and emergency part of that hospital, a very important part of the National Health Service in this country, are people of colour, people of different races and faiths, looking after the injured.
So to show what is happening and what is working is, for example, in hospitals, in schools, in different fields where the people are living together. Yet, the problem is that this discourse has no voice. It's, you know, a voiceless reality because nobody is talking about what is happening. And
well, they are talking about it, but they're not being heard. My website, thelatest.com, is a platform for those alternative voices.
So not heard by whom?
By the mainstream, by the majority.
So how can we change that?
I tried to get a letter into the Guardian newspaper to talk about what is happening in Libya and the fact that the majority of the world do not support it. Hmm. You know, China, Russia, Brazil, the BRIC countries, the African Union, representing 53 countries, do not support this unprovoked aggression against a nation state. And yet, where are you seeing that reported? You know, there's a distortion in the media. You pick up the front pages of all of the newspapers, and it's as if there's some sort of, PlayStation game, war game going on, that nobody's being killed. They're just flashing lights and pressing triggers, and we're not seeing the charred bodies and the dead bodies and the mangled buildings that would change public opinion.
Yes, but what is happening is that all these discourses about the failure of multiculturalism is heard by everyone, while the other side of the story is not heard. Now, what can we do? How can we change? You have a website. People are trying to be heard. Lack of alliances, people are not working together enough. It's as if everyone is working on his specific, you know, reality as Muslims, as black people, as, you know, Asian people. What can we do to be heard in this country? Do we have to be? Are you, for example, trying to push the people to be much more involved in politics? Because at the end of the day, it's a question of power, isn't it?
Yes, we need to be on the streets. Hmm. We really do. Hmm. Back to the old civil rights, Gandhi, Egypt, which is more recent. We can't just stay at home on Facebook and Twitter and hope that we can change society on the internet alone.
So your hope is that the uprisings are coming to us?
I hope that we are prepared to be active rather than the passive, silent majority. Okay. Look at the figures on this attack on Libya. It said that just 45% of the population support, 35% don't. And that's in the early days before you get the media showing the real pictures. You see those pictures that came out about the soldiers in Afghanistan, the US soldiers, laughing and joking after they'd shot dead some innocent civilians and they were posing with the corpses. Isn't that obscene? No, that sort of imagery has the power to change public opinion very quickly.
So this is your point is that we really have to be heard in a way which is coming. Whereas our contribution is also to be critical with the power that we have and the governments that we have and to be critical of. Because, in fact, at the end of the day, all what you are trying to say, but I think that this is also a reality, is that all these discussions about multiculturalism is just to avoid talking about what really is foreign policies and domestic policies.
That's what they're doing. And we mustn't play their game supported by a big media that is just no more than a Goebbels-type propaganda machine promoting what big politicians and big corporations want us to believe. We need to break free of that information stranglehold and as the people have our voices heard, and we need to protest and we need to regain that whole spirit of activism that freed South Africa, that gave black people the vote in America, and that is now freeing up democracy in the Middle East.
So at the end of the day, we have to come back to the old means that we had, which is, you know, demonstrating, uprising, being vocal, and alliances between the people who are the oppressed, and to be able to be vocal in this society. I think that during this discussion, we have been able to raise some of the important points. First is really to ask ourselves, what is multiculturalism? Because the reality of multiculturalism on the ground, as you were saying, in the daily, our daily life, it's working. What could be a failure is really sharing power, and for the people who are powerless, just to be able to ask for their rights and to be respected. And as you use the word mutual respect, which is needed, and not to come back to the old time of colonialism, where the people were perceived as object and not enough as subject of their history. And then to come back, as you were saying, to the heart of the question, which is, has to do with power, it has to do with respect, it has to do with racism, it has to do with equal rights in this society, it has to do with social justice, it has to do with even foreign policies, because at the end of the day, the way the people are treated here has to do with the way the people are treated there. And it might be that we are treating the people in other countries the way that the powerless are treated here. So coming back to the old time of awareness and mobilization for rights, as it was done in South Africa and other countries, could be the answer. Well, that's all we have time for. Please let us know your thoughts and views on any of the shows you have seen, and here is the way to contact us.
We'd like to hear your views on today's show, as well as ideas for future programs. You can do this by emailing us at islamandlife@presstv.co.uk. You can also join our Facebook page by searching Islam and Life on Press TV, where you can view past programs, keep up to date on future shows, leave comments, and meet other Islam and Life fans.
Finally, I would like to thank my guest, Mark Wadsworth. Thank you so much for being with us and with your input on this, and just try to galvanize us to do something for the future. And I hope to see you next week, inshallah. Thank you.